I am very glad that you are all here today. If you're a first-time guest, I am very excited to be able to bring God's Word to you today. So, I have been going to DCC for about 15 years now, and I've been blessed. This has been my family outside of where I originally grew up, Michigan. I try not to bring that up too many times. But this has been my family, and I'm so grateful and appreciate Sam as well. As you'll see from the slide, it's the marriage sermon series. Well, technically, I'm kind of falling into more of a relationship sermon today, and marriage is definitely a key part of that, but our relationship with God is something that we'll be discussing more about today, and how you can use that in the rest of your relationships as well. This last couple weeks, as the weather's been changing, and I'm definitely not a cool weather person, I'm more of a summer person, noticing just how the changing of the colors, the skies, the masterful work of God, and just how much, it's amazing to see the season change and all the colors that are coming to life. But it also brought to me that how much God loves us and wants a relationship with us way more than the majesty of the season changing. And it just really brought to mind that this week. So today, my theme for today is relationships take time and effort. They can be messy, but they are so worth it. And our verse for today that I'll be focusing on, and I'll bring back up later, is Ephesians 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I feel like that's really what God is calling us to be in our relationships. So I'm guessing that you're here in this church today for a few different reasons. One, you could be here because you love the building, you love the people that are here, and especially you love the guy who died on the cross behind me, Jesus Christ. The second reason you might be here is that you're here with someone that you enjoy being with. That relationship means a lot to you. And they brought you here today, or you accompanied them to here today. Or possibly the third reason is that you're basically dragged here. And probably against your will, possibly. Hopefully not, but as I joke about these things, you may be thinking about lunch, or you might be thinking about what's going on, or a text message you need to send. I totally understand. But I just wanted to share with you that I've been in all three of those places in my life. I just happen to be in a little different spot than I am today, and we'll go into that. As Sam mentioned a little bit of that earlier. And I'm not necessarily here to tell you that you need to be here today, but my purpose is to share with you my journey with God and how it changed my view of relationships. As Sam mentioned, in January of this year, I was had a stroke. And through that recovery, and it's still ongoing, there's one key area that I've struggled with, and that is I've lost some of my sight. I've always worn glasses and contacts and different things like that, but I've never actually had sight that's missing. This has caused me a lot of disruption in our life, our family life, but it also has caused me not to be able to drive as well. And I'm very thankful for you guys that I can't drive, because I probably wouldn't see you come in half the time or more, as the doctors have told me. So it's probably for the best for both of us that I'm not able to drive at this time. But driving in itself has meant a lot to me over the years. At 16, I was able to get my first car. At 18, I moved out and started to work, all be able to do those things by transportation, by driving. It is giving me a way of just being, not feeling as constrained, being able to be out and basically being able to have some freedom. And God has taught me so much these last 9 months. And he's called me to speak today how my impaired sight taught me about relationships of all things. And the experience can help deepen, hopefully, not only what's deep in my relationship with God, but also can help work with you as well in where your relationships are today. So my first point for you today is sight goes beyond physical eyes and starts with the heart. Let's consider Psalm 34, 19, and 20. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each and every time. God rescued me over and over during and after my stroke. He chose people to use people that I have never met before and those closest to me. In just the first moments, I remember leaving my home for what could have been the last time for all I knew. I remember clearly so many moments of uncertainty and asking why this happened to me, especially causing my family so much distress. For those of you skeptics in the audience, I wish I could explain why I was given another chance. But by faith, I know God heard my prayers and had a different plan for me. I have come to the realization that my relationship with God is unlike any other relationship on this planet. We try to compare this relationship to our dads, but in reality, is nothing like that relationship. As a father of four kids, I don't want to bring God to my level of imperfection. I also want my kids to know I'm not perfect as God is. And most importantly, I cannot always be there with them as God is with them. What I can offer them is a loving relationship that grows each and every day. So my second point is we are built for relationships, but they do take time. The journey into relationships, both with God and others, can be a difficult one, especially when you consider that you have to sacrifice to be a part of it. Are you willing to be aware of the other person's needs? Are you willing to listen in good and bad times? And are you available when life takes left turns, like strokes and other challenging things that happen in life? I'll tell you that so many people came to my family in the midst of our greatest need. We received cards of encouragement. We received lots and lots of prayers from all over the world. Financial help, food, help with our kids, and then at times just time to listen and to hear what was going on. And also, as I mentioned, without another driver in the house, transportation was a big issue. So that was a help that was filled in over and over and over again. So many gifts that we will never be able to repay. God overwhelmed us with support and love that cannot be measured and understood by earthly understanding. John 15, 12, and 13 says, "This is my command. Love each other the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend." We were witnesses of this sacrificial love that Jesus spoke about. People stopped their lives to love, encourage, and be there when we needed them. Some of these relationships were built with us directly, and others with Jesus, and through him, we were greatly impacted. So my third point, and where I'll spend the rest of my time, is focusing on relationships take effort and understanding. I'm going to talk about a subject that isn't discussed very often, and I know at times it may cause the hair on the back of your neck to stand up a little bit, but what I'm going to talk about is the word intimacy. Intimacy, yep, I said it. And I'll explain more, so please don't run out the exits quite yet, especially the guys. My definition, like most men, of intimacy prior to really God opening my mind and understanding was kind of the ushy-gushy feelings, sharing of feelings, especially right after watching a chick flick. But in reality, I learned and was able to understand an extended view of intimacy. While I was recovering from the strokes, I was able to read and listen and just spend some quiet time with God. In that time, I was able to read a book by Dr. Gary Chapman about families and relationships. So what I'm about to say is not necessarily original with me, but it really helped me to understand my relationships, especially with God, in a new way. understanding the different aspects of intimacy starts with God. Then it goes down to my family and down to those I work with every day. So intimacy, according to Dr. Chapman, breaks down into five key areas. There's intellectual intimacy. There's emotional intimacy. There's social intimacy, spiritual intimacy, and physical intimacy. I believe most of us were taught that just intimacy is feelings or just physical. But in reality, it goes much further than that. God designed us so much more, for so much more. And in Ephesians, Paul writes what God meant for intimacy to be. And that, back to Ephesians 4, verse 2, be completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. I see some of what we have considered as intimacy growing up, but I also see being humble and patient and bearing with one another. So I took some time and broke these five areas down and want to further focus on how these fit into the context of our relationship with God. But also, all of what I'm about to say can be put into the context of your marriage, with your children, your family relationships, your coworkers, and your friends as well. So the first one we'll focus on is intellectual intimacy. And this all starts with reading God's Word. In Luke 24, verse 32, it states, they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? This was Jesus, after he was risen from the dead, walking with these gentlemen on the road, talking about how everything was to come and was fulfilled through Jesus. By reading God's Word, we can feel that same burn in our hearts. We can feel that connection with God and through Jesus. By opening your Bible, that is best understood. There's different versions as I'm reading different versions today. Take time, take small sections and start down the journey in going to intellectual intimacy with God. Be curious. Learn the background of the story. Ask questions of fellow believers and test what you know against what you have read. Romans 12, verse 2 states, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Yes, God has a plan for every single person in this room and those that haven't even come to that realization yet, that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. How can you intellectually connect with your spouse, your children, your family, your friends, and your coworkers? Try reading the Bible or another book together, asking questions of each other to gain more knowledge. Find ways to challenge your brain while gaining insights on the other people in your life. By reading together, you can see their take on something that more than likely will be completely different from yours. Emotional intimacy is our second area. Sharing your feelings, and I'm sure no one's ever heard this before, but to keep those feelings inside where they belong. Psalm 64, verse 1 says, listen and help, O God. I'm reduced to a whine and a whimper, obsessed with feelings of doomsday. I'm sure today some of you have come in here just feeling down. God is here. He wants to listen. He wants to help. He wants to be emotionally connected with you. This is verses from David in the desert of Judah, seeking God with all that he is, telling him all of his concerns. Does God know how your feelings deep down inside right now? And that's slightly rhetorical in nature because he does know our hearts. But as I have learned, he wants a personal connection with each of us. Unlike our family, friends, and even social media, God will not judge or say something to offend or worse, just pacify you. He wants to listen, as he did with Moses in Exodus 3:7-8. I've heard their cries, he says. I have come down to help them. This is back in the desert with Moses and the Israelites. They struggled and sought God, and he answered them several times throughout these verses. As we struggle today, he is there. He wants to hear you. He wants to walk side by side and carry you through these challenging times. How can we emotionally connect with our spouse, our children, family, and friends, and coworkers? Do you have something? Do you have someone in your life that is safe in sharing your feelings? And yes, that means you guys as well. It is important that we don't push down and hide our feelings. Unfortunately, if you do that, they may come back out later and in different and potentially very damaging ways. So the third area is social intimacy. We need to be with people in relationship everywhere we are. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 state, live wisely among those who are non-believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right responses for everyone. It also, another version says, bringing out the best in others, not to put them down. Being social, for those of you like me, can cause some different levels of anxiety. Live within the group size that works for you. You may prefer one-on-one. You may prefer small groups. You may prefer the whole church setting. But they all have their purpose. Jesus spent time with his disciples individually as a group of 12 and also in crowds of thousands. I promise if you stretch yourself and become more social, good things will come. If you told anyone that knew me 10 years ago that I would be up here today, they would say there's probably no way that was possible. God can and will grow us if we just take a small step in his direction. How can you socially connect with your spouse, your children, family, friends? Find time to go out and enjoy some one-on-one time, or possibly go to like a men's event or a women's event here at church. You'll find new friends that God has planned for you to know, but only if you take that first step. So the fourth area is spiritual intimacy. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3 states, so get rid of evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all kinds of unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this moment, for this nourishment, now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Just as kids grow from milk to soft food to solid food, we too must progress in our faith, or this world will pull us back. Pray with an open heart. Ephesians 6, verse 18 states, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I see three key things there that continue to build up. I see at all times, no matter what's going on, good, bad, in between, time to pray. Every occasion, and be persistent. Every day, all day. 2 Corinthians 10, 17 and 18 states, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. When people commend themselves, it does not count for much. The important thing is for the Lord to commend them. The important thing is for the Lord to commend you. I believe we all crave to understand the spiritual aspects of how God created us, but we get distracted by this world in finding time to seek him. How can you spiritually connect with those in your family? Because we all have the same battle to understand our spiritual self, I think it is good to have open discussions about your faith or the lack of it. As I stated before I started, I was in all three of those seats. There's times when I had very little faith, and it continues to grow even through challenging times. Ever since joining DCC 15 years ago, I've been a part of small groups, and that has such been a great way for me to connect with others, and I really appreciate their input and the safety of that environment and those friends that I have. Try asking in the right time, what is it they believe about God as well? I believe, as Ephesians 4:2 states, that it starts with us being humble and gentle and patient and asking in a loving way about others and their spiritual struggles. The last one is physical intimacy. The physical intimacy is not what you may have originally thought of when I brought up the subject. The two physical actions that we take with God are being silent and kneeling. These may seem very easy unless you have bad knees like myself, but in today's fast-paced world, it can be very difficult to find time to stop what we're doing. In the book of Daniel, he writes in 6 verse 10, he went home and he knelt down as usual in his upstairs room. He prayed 3 times a day, and as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. I really see as he knelt as usual, and he has always done. Daniel was diligent, and he knew of the critical importance to find physical intimacy with God every day, and even several times a day. His life was busy, it was dangerous, and he pressured to conform. But he stayed diligent in prayer to God. His example is one to consider if you've not read the book of Daniel in a while, as you may think that it was just focused on the lion's den or the furnace. Those are two key stories, but he has so much more to offer us in that book if you haven't had time to go back there. How can we be physically intimate with our spouse and our family and our coworkers and friends? Being together without distraction could be a good start for you. Being outside, talking without a device, sharing your concerns, eye to eye is how God intended us to be in physical contact. So as I went through these different levels of intimacy, you may have found that there's some areas that you need to work on with God, in your relationship, in your life, in your marriage, with your kids. I know personally, some areas came easy and others much more difficult. But what I have found that with practice and effort and with, most importantly, God's grace, I have gotten better and my relationships are improving. So just to recap my points for today for you. First is sight goes beyond our physical eyes and starts with our heart. Second, we are built for relationships, but they do take time. Third, relationships take effort and understanding. Intimacy, according to Dr. Chapman, breaks down into those 5 key areas: intellectual, emotional, social, spiritual, and physical. And really, how God planned for intimacy to be, according to his word, is Ephesians 4, verse 2. As we said a couple times, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. We have a lot of things that we bear for each other, we want to bear, and we need to bear for each other. So being there to love and be patient and gentle is how God planned for us to be. Life can change in the blink of an eye. The question is, are you ready for it? If your life were to change right now, do you feel like you have poured into all of your relationships in the most fulfilling way possible? I know God has opened my eyes to how I can have a greater relational intimacy. Have you considered what a relationship with the Creator looks like? Have you thought about how much God wants to be in a real, daily, loving, and dare I say, intimate relationship with you? Every journey starts with one step in relationship. And as I said earlier, you're one of those 3 areas, people I came in for today. Those in the first group, where and when can you spend time with God today? Pray about one area of intimacy with God that you want to work on today. If you're in group 2, consider accepting Jesus' free gift of salvation and a full relationship with Him. And if you're in group three, consider coming back next week, hopefully willingly. That would be great. I'm going to close with Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Let us pray. Lord God,